Thank you for tuning in this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Marlborough, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Deacon Paul Nungester, deacon here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, October 16th, 2022, the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Deacon Paul.
I had a wise friend years ago. He had a little poem. And whenever he was trying to understand something, he would say, "I know six honest working men. They taught me all I know. Their names are what, why, and when, who, where, and how." These six men are queries, questions, and I use them when preparing my homilies. They help me to delve deeper and further into the meanings of the readings. And this week, the readings the church gives us all kind of flow together with a common theme, but they use distinctly different paths to reveal the topic. So let me ask the first question. What is the point of this week's readings? Well, in the first reading, it appears Moses has power to help Joshua and the Israelites defeat the armies of the Amalekites. This isn't just a history lesson, although this probably took place. Rather, it points to a couple other lessons for us to glean from this. And in Peter Kreft, in his book, Food for the Soul, he tells us that power is not there for the point, but the point is not for the power. The point is the power. I can't read my own writing. That the power is there for the point, not the point for the power. I've been doing this since yesterday, so it gets confusing. But the point is, the power, the battle, the winning, that's not the point of that reading. Moses doesn't have the power. God does. And he gives it to Moses to use. So as long as Moses holds the staff up, Joshua has the better of the battle, right? But when Moses grows tired and lets his hands down, the Amalekites prevail. So when we delve into this, we realize that the point is that when God performs miracles for our good, he requires us to cooperate with him. He's not just going to stand there and get the job done for us. We need to work with him. He doesn't snap his fingers, if God has fingers. Somebody does. He doesn't snap his fingers and destroy the Amalekites. He could have said, "Yep, gun, they're gone." But he wants Moses to work with him. So what happens when Moses gets tired? He lets his hands down. The enemy takes the advantage in the battle. There's another lesson for us in this story. And that lesson is that Moses needed help. He simply couldn't keep his arms up all day. And that's certainly a normal human reaction. Growing up, I had a whole bunch of older brothers. I was the youngest of seven. And they used to play tricks on me, of course, and harass me and do stuff to them. One day they said, "Hey, we want to hold your arms out, and we're going to put Mom's salt shaker in one hand and pepper shaker in the other, and see how long you can hold your hands out." They told me I should be able to do it for 15 or 20 minutes. I said, "Okay, I didn't know. You know, little kid, what do I know?" Then, of course, they left the room and left me standing there, and they didn't help me. And I got tired pretty quick. I think I went like 3 or 4 minutes, and that was it. And that was a long time, I guess. So they left me to suffer. Holding your arms out is one of the most difficult things to do, even without antique salt and pepper set, which I didn't break, by the way. I didn't get in trouble with that. But unlike my brothers, Moses gets help. Aaron and Hur helped him by holding up his arms, giving him a seat. Kind of seems like cheating, doesn't it? Although, I don't think a rock would be all that comfortable to sit on for long, but it's not. It's not cheating. Because we, in our life struggles, we need help. We need someone to come along and say, "Here, do this. We'll help you out." Aaron and Ur are friends to be there for Moses and help him hold his arms up. And it says that they remained steady. Certainly an attribute that we like to see in friends. Steady friends stand by us. And when they were steady, Joshua was victorious. So Moses, with help from God and friends, persevered in his prayer for victory. So how does the second reading flow from the first? Because after all, they're separated by dozens of centuries, a couple thousand years, countless events in the history of the Israelites. Yet again, there's that same theme. Paul is exhorting Timothy to remain faithful. Moses could have given up, but he didn't. He remained faithful, and his friends remained steady. Paul's doing the same thing here. He's giving help to Timothy, helping him to focus on what's important. There's a lot packed into these passages. That's typical of Paul. All of his writings are really deep and give you a lot of stuff. But the core message is simple in this writing. Timothy should use what he has learned from infancy in the sacred scriptures. The sacred scriptures. Now, when Paul writes this letter, it's important for us to understand what Paul means by the sacred scriptures in that time frame. He's referring to what is called the Old Testament in our Bible. The New Testament has not yet been codified, written, and the Bible as we know it has not yet been assembled. In fact, this letter is part of the New Testament, so it's obviously isn't part of the New Testament yet because it's being written at that time. But Paul is making it clear that knowledge of Scripture that Timothy has is sufficient to give him wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is inspired by God. It's not made by man, it's written by people, but the inspiration comes from God and the Holy Spirit. So we often say that the New Testament is hidden in the Old through the prophecies, and that the Old Testament is revealed in the New in Jesus Christ. And Paul's connecting those dots together. So just as Moses was inspired by God to persist, so Paul encourages Timothy to teach, refute, correct, train, convince, all sorts of things, be patient, etc., etc. He tells Timothy to proclaim the word. Jesus is the word. Proclaim Jesus, proclaim the word, and to be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. So then we come to the gospel reading. This one seems to be pretty obvious, and it is. It's about praying always without becoming weary. It says that right in the first line. That same message has been there in the other two messages, yet Jesus uses a type of example that he's used in other gospel readings, and we've heard those gospel readings over the last few weeks and couple of months. Hans Urs von Balthasar, in his commentary, Light of the World, says that Jesus uses these immoral realities of our world, immoral realities of our world. And we've heard them, again, over the last several weeks and months. The servant who defrauds his master. It's always a tough one. The prodigal son tells his father, give me my inheritance, I gotta leave. There's a foolish rich man, the glutton we heard about, and the wicked vineyard owner, among others. And Jesus knows that for us to understand something, we often need to contemplate the contrary. So Jesus often starts his parables with the opposite example, as he does in this case. Today it's a judge. He neither fears God nor respects any human being. Just the opposite of what we would expect a just judge to be, right? This is one nasty guy. He hates everyone. Doesn't fear God. Doesn't like people. Kind of like the Grinch. Imagine him up on his mountain there, complaining. But he has a problem, this widow who keeps pestering him for a just decision. And you can just imagine her coming to his office, his courtroom, stopping him on the street. Maybe she even went to his home to bother him. So that eventually he begins to fear she will strike him. And because she keeps pestering him, he gives in and renders a just decision. Her persistence pays off. Dictionary defines persistence as continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulties or opposition. Certainly describes this widow in this story. Persistence in prayer, then, is the point of all these readings, regardless of the track they take to get there. Persistence in our prayer is the point of all these readings, and it is our marching orders as Christians. Persist in your prayers. Too often I've had people say to me, "Well, God didn't answer my prayers, so I just gave up. I just stopped." But that's not what these readings demonstrate. And that's not what Jesus says. He says if we call out to God day and night, that's all the time, he will answer them. He will see that justice is done speedily. So do you wonder, I did, do you wonder if the judge rendered a decision in favor of the widow? We expect that. It sounds like he did, but it doesn't say that he specifically rendered a decision in her favor. It's just said that it was just. What if the decision wasn't to her liking? What if he found against her, but it was right and just? Interesting to think about. How would we handle that in our lives if in our prayers we don't get the response that we want? That's a key point for us to contemplate in the coming week. We should be persistent in our prayers, never ever giving up. We also need to be prepared to accept God's answer, even if it isn't what we expect. Praying in war and conflict isn't happening in our world. But should we stop praying for peace? No, we need to continue to do that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're not fooling me. You're thinking, "Deacon, I can't be on my knees next to my bed praying all the time. I got things to do. I got life to live. I got kids to raise. I got work to do." And that's true. So we pray by how we live our lives. We pray when we live our lives. We pray also in how we do our lives. You can pray while you're doing the dishes and offer it up. Cooking a meal. Going to work. Those prayers may be silent. They may just be simple. "Lord, help me. Lord, look after my neighbor who's sick." And you go on with your work. You dedicate that moment. Do it at football games, grocery store, wherever we live. We heard it today in Father's opening prayer. Conform our wills to thine. So we should pray continuously, individually, communally, and globally. Years ago, long before I was a deacon, long before I thought about being a deacon, long when I was almost a pagan, I decided to think about how I would pray. How would I start praying? And that's a common theme people tell me. I don't know how to start. What do I do? Well, we've got the Our Father. We got all kinds of prayers. We're Catholics. We got all kinds of prayers, right? Get a little book. Go down to Rieger's. Buy a little book. I started out simple, simple, simple. I said a morning offertory, and then I said an act of contrition in the evening. And that started me thinking, okay, I can do that in the morning, I can do it in the evening. I do the act of contrition, I try and think about the things I did wrong and messed up on that day. Sometimes that takes quite a while, but I get through it. And then it started to fill in the day, do something at noon, do something, you know. Started to think about, this is something I can do all the time, whether it's saying formal prayers. I'll show you a short and quick prayer. You ready? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. That's it. That's a prayer. You can do that at times. You see baseball players doing it all the time. They're watching baseball. And there's all kinds of players that are doing that now. So when we do pray consistently, and persevere, that's good. We've got to be prepared for the answer. And to do that, one of the ways to do that is when we pray, we have to remember the words of Jesus as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, but as you will." Jesus is asking God for relief from his coming passion. But he accepts God's will over his. Should we not do the same? And when you're praying, formally or silently or living your life, that should always be on your mind. And the end of all our prayer is saying, "Father, not as I will, but as you will."
Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wabash, Ohio. Make sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and helps bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Wednesday through Friday at 7:30 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.